you're here. Fellowship's sweeter, knowing you're near. It's so good to see you. I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you. We're glad you're here.
Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It's Wednesday, March 22nd, 2017. Joining me in the studio, Wednesday and Friday co-host Pastor Jason Schiffo. Welcome.
Welcome, welcome.
Well, it's been a crazy week, an exciting week. I'm ecstatic to announce this Saturday we're going to have some training for future conversational English class leaders, and partly because on Monday and Tuesday's edition of Mark and Friends, we had two different special guests. On Monday, Ruth Esri, and then on Tuesday, Rosemary Painter. Yesterday it was Rosemary, and both talked about our English conversation classes and the successes that we kind of measure as we saw the classes grow and the students learning and enthusiastically participating in our farewell, I don't know what you'd call it, banquet, buffet of various foods from China, mainland, and Taiwan. But we're going to have training this Saturday. Rosemary Painter, who's a certified TESOL instructor and has taught at Milliken and Parkland and other places, conversational English classes, she's going to give future potential leaders, and I say future potential because if you come on Saturday, it doesn't obligate you to volunteer in the future or be committed to 10-year courses and work with us, but Rosemary will be putting on about an hour and a half workshop from 10:30 this Saturday at the Great News Radio Center. So if you're interested in reaching internationals or being a part of future conversational English classes with Great News Radio, come on out this Saturday. But let me know just so we can plan materials accordingly and have the seating all set up. You can call the station at 217-367-7777 or just email me at mark, M-A-R-K, at greatnewsradio.org and say, hey, you're interested or want to know more or can't make it this Saturday, but would want to be a part of future classes because we'll begin that first Monday in April, April 3rd. Classes are from 10:30 to 11:30 typically on Monday and Thursday. So we're looking for a few helpers, a few instructors or teachers to help out, whether it's a Monday, Thursday, or just on Mondays or on Thursdays. And so if you want to be a part of the conversational English classes through Great News Radio, held at the Lincoln Square at our center here, then come on out this Saturday, 10:30, Lincoln Square in the Great News Radio Center. So, yeah, a lot of excitement. I posted on Tuesday the links to the programs and did a couple Facebook posts about the classes, and seems to be some growing interest, and a couple people have called me, and so I'm excited to have
a couple of teachers or people attending.
Both. One that's a teacher that's retired, that's really interested, that's excited to come. And then Rosemary Painter, she has a friend that's interested, and a few others that are going to try to make it, along with some of the people that have taught that want to come and get further training. So it'll be about an hour and a half, maybe no longer than 2 hours, from 10:30 to 12:30 this Saturday. And it'll primarily be for those that want to teach or want to facilitate or just assist, like with the intermediates. Ideally, it's nice to have one teacher for every three or four participants. Mm-hmm. That way they get to speak a little more instead of just instructing or teaching. You want to help them converse, if you will.
Hence the name, Conversational English.
Exactly. So we'll equip you to do that. So if you're interested or need more information, you can call the station, 217-367-7777. Yeah, that's all I really want to address. Other than that, stop by our website, and you can learn more about the Ivan Parker concert that's coming up on Saturday, June 10th, right here at Lincoln Square, and we're going to hold it in the food court area. So it'll be great seating. The Singing Men will back up Ivan Parker and probably open up the concert with a number of selections, and then we'll feature Ivan for, I don't know, usually goes for about an hour and a half, 2 hours. Yeah. So that's coming up June 10th. You can purchase tickets at our website, greatnewsradio.org. Are we going to turn to the book of Matthew maybe today?
Yeah, well, that's what I preached out of on Sunday. You know, it's crazy because sometimes you preach messages that you're like, oh, this one is one of the ones. You know what I mean? You're going to preach it and you're thinking people are going to hear it. They're going to respond to it. They're going to there's going to be some, maybe some healing, maybe some calling out of it. There's going to be, this was not one of those. This was not one of those.
But this
was one of those messages that I thought, okay, this is a, this message is, it's faithful to the scriptures. It's all the things that I think a message should be. But I thought, okay, it's just a transition message. It moves us to the next thing we're going to talk about, because it was kind of part one of part two of message. And then there's like all these testimonies out of Sunday, like, you know, oh, my gosh, this, you know, really helped me follow Christ more.
So you went into this just thinking it's a transitional message, setting the stage, but not a powerful, impactful one.
I think it's God's word, so it's impactful. But it wasn't one where I go, okay, this is going to be the one. This is going to be one that's really going to move people to action.
Okay,
or move
so low expectations,
It's
God's word.
Yeah, it's God's word, so never low expectations. So I want to be careful how I say that. But I just didn't feel like it was going to be. And then there was like these testimonies. I'm like, oh, my gosh. But I think because the message really, and I want to say it's not the message, but it's the scripture. And when we say, well, maybe we'll say message, but message in terms of the biblical message, not the messenger me. Because I think anybody could have preached the same message out of the same text and probably elicited the same result, because God's word is calling us to something. And so I preached out of Matthew chapter 4 and verse 18, beginning in verse 18, which is the Jesus calls the first disciples. And really, I felt the need to, we've been going through a series called The Life and Teaching of Jesus, and it was just really a way to get in and just look at Jesus' life and look at different places where he taught and where he, you know, interacted with people in their lives, and then try and make some connections to what does that mean for us in our lives. And so coming out, it was really interesting, coming out of our time in Israel, where we were talking about being a disciple of Christ every morning from 6 to 7 o'clock in the morning. We had those, I felt, were just really great devotionals in the morning, and not great because the messenger was great, but great because I thought the message was great, and people who attended always had such rich things to say. I mean, I would walk away and I would go like, gosh, the best thing in the room was some of the comments that people made, or some of the ways they were challenged to think differently, or even just some of like, amen, you know, amen. That's what I needed to hear what the Bible says about that today, because I need to get called back to it.
Which, let me do a little shout out. You and I are praying this up and talking about it, and it looks like it may happen sometime after Easter, whether it's a few weeks after or a week after or within 10 days. You know, we don't have a defined specific night yet. We're thinking maybe a Tuesday night, but all to say that we're going to probably offer an evangelism, abiding in Christ, 6 or 8 weeks sessions.
More, I would say, being a disciple, growing to understand, which I think you can't be a disciple without abiding, and I think you can't be a disciple maker without evangelizing. But the evangelism is much more subtle, because you're creating disciples who naturally multiply and make more disciples of Christ. And I think it's where we're missing. You know, David Platt, who's written a number of books on discipleship, and he now works for the Southern Baptist, the president of the Southern Baptist Missions Committee. And he said this. He said, the greatest need of the church is not more money, more programs, or more people. It is that the men and women and students who are in place right now would rise up and believe that they are truly disciples of Jesus Christ. And then they would live out of that. And I think that that's true. You know, I was shocked to see when you do a word study in the New Testament that the word Christian in the New Testament is only used 3 times. The word disciple or follower is used 269 times. So 3 times we have this mention of Christian, you know, like in Acts when it says in Antioch they were first called Christians. But it's always used mainly as just to define a group. But then you've got 269 times, you've got all these mentions of the word disciple, where it talks about the act and action of following Jesus. Mm-hmm. Every student will become like his teacher, not above his teacher, but like his teacher. And so we have this picture of what it means to, what it should mean, at least I think, to follow Christ. Now, I would just, on the outset of this, just challenge people, because I think what happens is we accept Jesus by faith, and then we sit and we listen. We become what I might even call convinced listeners. And then we wait for Jesus to come back. And so all of our life is built around going to church, serving at church, and waiting for Jesus to come back. Doing a lot of listening and a whole lot less doing. And so I would love to see the church. I think the church is going to find its real power when we move from being convince listeners to committed learners and committed sharers, people who share their life in Christ, people who whose life is duplicated. I mean, what does Paul say of Timothy? He says, when he writes to the Corinthian church, he says, for this reason I'm sending you Timothy. What's the reason? So that they can be encouraged, so that they can be grown up, so that they can be, the Bible says, reminded. Mm-hmm. And so Timothy, being a disciple of Paul, his job is to remind people of Paul's life, what? In Christ Jesus. Not Paul's life alone, but Paul's life in Christ Jesus. So everything, as you make disciples, moves back to Jesus. It moves all the way back to Jesus. Now, when I taught on Sunday morning, the first place that I started is I started with, I think, some of our misconceptions of the world of Jesus. And this hit home with me again when we were in Israel and we were in the Galilee.
And share those in just a second, so let me finish my thought. So sometime after Easter, be aware that we're going to offer a 6 or 8 week course or classes or workshop or seminar. It's going to be a number of things where Jason will help us walk through that book by Bill Allison.
Yep.
And that'll be offered at the Great News Radio Center, and we'll have a sign up and more to say about that, but be thinking maybe a week or so after Easter, probably on Tuesday nights, we'll be gathering here at the Great News Radio Center and walk through this material together.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, and we're going to walk through it at our church. We're going to walk through it everywhere. Everybody relationship I have, I'm going to start to walk through this because I'm more and more impressed upon the fact that we need to become disciples of Jesus Christ for no other reason than that we will then be pushed out. Our primary call on our life will be to remind people of Jesus.
Yeah.
And that's what we're called to do. When Jesus says, follow me, that's what he wants to do. But on Sunday when I started teaching this, and we'll probably continue this on the Friday program, but I started with the Galilee because I was reminded when we were in Israel of what the Galilee is and what the Galilee was not. I think when we think about the Galilee and we read the stories of Jesus in the Bible, and I think partly because of maybe the way it's been portrayed in some Sunday schools lessons when we're kids, and I also do think this, I would be honest, I think it is our pride as kind of a developed Western nation, that when we think of the Galilee area, we think of little sleepy fishing village. We think Wisconsin. We think it's like a bunch of backwards folks. It's quiet. It's kind of, you know. But when you go for the time and area that it was, Capernaum was a bustling city.
Yeah.
When you see the size of the white synagogue, a lot of times in that day, the prominence of the area and the size of the area was denoted by the size of the church because everybody attended church. I mean, everybody, especially in the Galilee area was highly religious. And so you can tell Capernaum's size and impact by the size of the church. And the white synagogue is huge, and it was built over the remains of the brown synagogue. We believe the brown synagogue was probably of the same size, and that's where Jesus preached when he pulled out the scroll and then he healed a demon-possessed man. But a couple of things that's interesting. It says in Matthew chapter 4 and verse 15, the land of Zebulun, the land of Naphtali, the way of the sea beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. And Matthew 4:15 is important because it tells us that the way of the sea, which was like a 6-lane superhighway of the day, ran through the Galilee.
Mm-hmm.
So it came from the north, it went through the Galilee, then it immediately kind of shoehorned and went out towards the coast of the Mediterranean Sea and then went all the way down to Egypt. And this is a place where you would have Jews, you would have Gentiles, you would have all kinds of people traveling on this. By the way, when Jesus calls Levi, where is Levi at? Levi's at his tax booth. I really believe from some of the reading that I've done that would have been like a toll booth. And those of us in Illinois, we understand exactly what toll booth means. And there was no I-Pass back in that day. But Levi was at this, so we know it was bustling. And so Galilee was not this sleepy kind of backward fishing village place. Galilee was a place that was bustling with activity and with ideas. Also, when we study the Galilee area, we find that it was, as I already said, highly religious. There was a high view of teaching. There was a high view of the Torah, of being faithful to God in the Galilee area. In fact, If you read extra-biblical Jewish sources, you find that more famous teachers came from the Galilee area than anywhere else. See, Jerusalem was surrounded by mountains and by the terrain there. So the only people who really went to Jerusalem were Gentiles who had business in Jerusalem or Jews pilgrimaging to Jerusalem or those who lived there. It was not a natural place of trade where there was a huge route for that happening. You had the King's Highway, but that was mainly Jews going up and down. The way of the sea was where you had a lot of Gentiles, you had a lot of different ideas. And what's fascinating is I think because of those ideas, because of all that ideologies and things that would travel on the way of the sea, it made the Galilee become even more...
cosmopolitan?
I think cosmopolitan is definitely one of the things we would say, but I also think it made them guard their faith even more. Mm-hmm. You know, so much so is that... What's fascinating is that when the revolt begins in 66 A.D., what destroys the temple, it begins in the Galilee area. And the Galilee, as we saw when we even taught there, you could look from Capernaum and look across and you would see the Decapolis, the 10-city region of Alexander the Great. You would see the pagan region over there.
And it was also like the crossroads, so a lot of like from Syria or up north, people came through there from the south. They would head north and come along there. Following, obviously, where there was water and the Sea of Galilee and the River Jordan.
Yeah, and so think about this now from the standpoint of Jesus. God positions Jesus to come into a place that is absolutely prepared to receive him, a place where they want and desire God. They desire to be faithful to the Scriptures, maybe almost to a fault to where they become religious and legalistic, but also a place where the ideas will travel back and forth because there is this huge... I mean, when the Bible says... I've been thinking about this a lot, Mark, and it really kind of fascinates me. When the Bible says that the gospel will come first to the Jew and then to the Gentile... I think that we think that later on in Acts it goes from the traverses from the Jews to the Gentiles, and I think it does do that in a very literal and a very prominent way. But I think in a very subtle way, it was coming first to the Jews and the Gentiles right there in the Galilee area.
Well, the scripture you read in Matthew here, doesn't it say Galilee of the Gentiles?
Yeah.
Which I thought was kind of interesting. You think of Galilee and Jesus and Jewish, but the Galilee of the Gentiles, I was like. That kind of
caught my attention. I think Jesus would have interactions with all kinds of Gentiles. I think that's why Jesus was not afraid to go to the other side and to minister into the Decapolis. But I also think that's because he was God, and God doesn't see those kind of borders and boundaries that we see. God sees only lost people who are in need of saving. Yeah, yeah. And so I think we had to first address our misconceptions about what the Galilee is and what the Galilee isn't. Because we have to understand the world that Jesus came into. By the way, when Jesus comes into that world, what do they call him? Do they call him the Christ? No, they don't call him the Christ. That doesn't come till later when Jesus says to Peter, who do you say I am? Who do they say I am? You know, and that's the first declaration where Peter says, well, you're the Christ, the Son of God. Prior to that, what do they call him? They call him Rabbi. Rabbi, which was teacher, which is esteemed teacher. In fact, the people call him rabbi. His disciples call him rabbi. The Pharisees call him rabbi. The lawyer, when he comes to test him, calls him rabbi. Nicodemus calls him rabbi. So all of them see him as an esteemed and prominent teacher. And we know that he must have been because it says in Luke chapter 5, it says, on one occasion while the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God. So in Luke 5, we have the crowds pressing in. They want to hear what this rabbi is going to say. They want to hear what this teacher is going to say. This is not Jesus of little impact. By the way, the Luke chapter 5 is before the calling of the disciples. So Jesus hasn't even called his students to him. He hasn't even called his disciples to him. And yet already people are pressing in the area in and around Capernaum to hear him teaching. Because why? He's a teacher. He's a rabbi. They see him as a rabbi. God uniquely positions Jesus in a place of, I think, the place that was prepared for him, but then I also think in a position of prominence so that people would look to him to look to see the word of God.
Yeah.
And so isn't that fascinating that God would put him in a position where people would look and say, we want to hear the word, and then God would say, okay, now subtly I'm going to make a shift here because he is the word.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just you're going to hear the word. It's almost funny because when I read this passage here, that says on one occasion while the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God, I read that and I just kind of chuckled and I said, did the crowd know they were pressing in on him to see the word of God? As John would say in chapter 1, that the word became flesh and it dwelt amongst us. Their desire to hear the word almost kind of circumvented the fact that they were going to see the word. And I think that that's the challenge for us between being...
And know the word.
Right, and know the word. And I think
firsthand.
That's the challenge for us from the difference of being a convinced listener or a committed learner. A convinced listener just wants to hear the word. A committed learner wants to see the word made flesh and manifested in their life, wants to feel the
power. Wait, I'm writing this down. Convinced, I like this.
Yeah, convinced listener just wants to hear the word. A committed learner wants to see the word in action, wants to see the word of God, believes that Jesus is the word made flesh and that he makes a difference, that he can touch people and change their lives, that he can do all that. So when we come back to the Friday program, this is really good. Check me out.
That's why I'm writing this down.
Check me out as I make a great segue here. And as we come back for the Friday program, and I hope that all of you listening right now will come back Friday, we're going to talk about what it means when you move from being a convinced listener to becoming a committed learner because you're desiring to see the Word made flesh. And by the way, before you even get the inkling of that, the Word is going to say, come follow me.
What the Galilee is and is not, convinced listener or committed learner. Matthew, keep your finger in your Bible. Matthew, what, chapter 4 or 5?
Well, this is like Wednesday. It'll be awkward if they got their finger in their Bible for 2 days.
No, that's...
Could you imagine that?
It'd stir up some conversation. Now, what are you doing? Why is your finger there,
Mom,
in the Bible?
Mom, why is there no dinner? I can't take my finger out of the Bible.
Yes. Oh, I look forward to it. We'll have you back same time on the Friday edition, Mark and Friends, and maybe read through Matthew 4 and 5, or for that matter, Luke 5, or just find a section in the Bible and pray it up as God would lead you to further his kingdom work through insights or conviction or new knowledge or growth. So thank you for dialing in one of our four frequencies or listening on your iPad or internet connection through your computer or something else and being a part of our radio listening family. And thank you, Jason, for dividing God's word for us and encouraging us to come back on Friday to learn some more. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Pastor Jason Schiffel with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you. Have a great day and night.